The date, 13th of November, 1815. The place, Donnelly's Hollow, a great amphitheater in County Kildare, Ireland. Today, more than 20,000 locals have filled the arena to witness their champion boxer, a brick wall of a man named Dan Donnelly, for whom the arena is named, as he takes on the English champion, George Cooper. If one were to guess that this bloody, brutal, and savage bare-knuckled slugfest was a manifestation of the tense history between two nations, you'd be... Yeah, you'd be faster on your feet than poor George Cooper. The Irishman finally chopped down the English champ by the 12th blood-soaked round. It was the crowning achievement of Dan Donnelly's brief fighting career. It's interesting to note that this sporting hero, once a symbol of national pride, fought and won only three professional fights in his entire career before he unexpectedly passed away in 1820 at the age of 32. And here's where the story takes something of a macabre turn. Dan Donnelly wasn't in the ground for more than a few days before grave robbers raided his tomb and took off with his body in a sack. The surgeon that hired the grave robbers was extremely curious about one particular aspect of Dan Donnelly's anatomy: his unusually long, sinewy, and muscular arms, particularly his right arm, the arm that was used to destroy his English rivals in the ring. He returned the rest of the body to the gravesite, but kept the arm, preserving it in a thick coat of red lead paint. The arm was passed around different medical colleges in Ireland and Scotland, and was later sold to a sideshow until it was claimed by one Hugh Texas McAlevey, who displayed the arm in his pub in Belfast before he started to receive certain complaints from his customers.
Dickie, I ain't seen you around the bar for weeks now. Is everything all right between you and me?
That's nothing against you, you old mate.
Well, what is it then?
I really think you ought to reconsider displaying Dan Donnelly's arm in your place.
Oh, well, that's the pride of the Irish we're talking about, Dickie.
Hugh, mate, if you're willing to listen to the honest words of a friend, and not just me that feels this way.
Oh, for the love of Mary and Joseph, I thought Dan Donnelly's arm would bring me more business. And here I am learning from you that it might be costing me my business.
It belongs in the grave with the rest of them, says I. It's morbid and, forgive my saying, it unholy and besides, never mind.
What? What is it, lad?
You think I'm mad.
I already think that. But what is it? Spit it out.
Well, I'm not the only one who says it, but so help me, Lord, there have been times when I am completely sober, too. When I see that blasted arm of Dan Donnelly's under the glass there, is it twitching?
Thanks to increasing customer feedback along these same lines, McAlevey began to realize that displaying Dan Donnelly's severed arm really wasn't so good for his till. So he stored the preserved arm away in the attic space of the pub, where more than one frightened employee claimed to experience Dan Donnelly's unhappy ghost in residence. In the years since, the arm has changed hands several times, disappearing for long periods, only to suddenly reappear in a pub, traveling show, or museum exhibit. As of today, Dan Donnelly's fighting right arm can be seen in a glass case at the Gaelic Athletic Association Museum in Croke Park in Dublin. This seems to be the most comfortable resting place for Dan Donnelly's arm yet, for, well, as far as we know, no one has reported it twitching ever since. Well, this is only one of many endlessly fascinating entries in the long and enchanted tale that is the history of Ireland. You want to know what's eerie in Erin? Well, let us travel arm in arm as you take the journey with us. This is Fireside Mystery Theater. Dubliner Mervyn Wall wrote, "In Ireland, anything may happen to anyone, anywhere, and at any time. And it usually does." This shall prove doubly true this evening as we plunge into our own vision of Irish myths, fancies, frights that exist uniquely in this uncanny and fantastic realm that can only be conjured by the imaginative wonders of radio theater. With tonight's first tale, The Coffin Makers, let us transport you, our listeners, to an inn nestled in the ferny glen of a small coastal Irish village in County Clare that rests somewhere along the intersection of fact and legend.
Musha, why is that door open? Who left it open?
Not I.
Can't you hear the wind howling? Cyril, get your nose out of your breast pocket and shut it right now.
Excuse me, Your Majesty, but you're at least 3 paces closer to the door than I.
Ah, oh, for the love of...
Well, one of you close that bleeding door before it snuffs out the fire and... Oh, what? What was that?
What?
Who was that just went past the door outside?
Oh, I see them. Are you?
Cyril, be careful now.
Aha, gotcha.
Well, well.
It's Bree and Sam O'Shane.
What are you two rodents doing sniffing around side to the property? Speak up.
Oh, let me go, you rug. We ain't done nothing.
Sam, mind your manners. We're very sorry, Miss Kitty.
I ain't afeard.
Oh, you little jackanapes. Look at their noses are running. Oh, Cyril, put them out. Last thing we need them spreading that awful coughing and wheezing round here.
Yeah, and I bet you two bounders were about to steal some eggs from the coop, weren't you?
No.
Then what are you doing out in the wet in this cold just now?
It was only a little fun. A dare is all. It was my fault. I dared my brother to pass by here on our way home To see
what? My sister believes in all the wild tales they tell about this place of yours, the Corncrake Inn.
Tales?
All the goings-on, the nonsense that I know is not true. Let go of my shirt, you beast.
Let them go, Cyril. Back to the main road with the both of you.
See, I told you, Bree. There ain't nothing here but to be afraid of. Just an old lady and a couple of layabouts gathering dust in this shoddy old place.
Mind your manners, Sam. We are in Miss Kitty O'Hare's house. We mustn't cross her.
Oh, my dear. Your brother is a coarse one. But I hate to say he is not all that far from the mark. Oh, I am just an old woman. A publican and a landlady living quiet and peaceful in the autumn of my years.
But we've heard stories. My schoolmate Margaret McClintock said you once told her a story that made her hair stand clean on end.
Oh, yes. Oh, poor Margaret. That's right. But that was only a story, you know. Whatever happened to Margaret, by the way? I haven't seen her since. Well, she used to help deliver our straw. Such a dainty wee thing she was.
What was the story?
She said it was about the brewery of the eggshells, the changeling baby.
Oh, so you already know it.
Yes, but perhaps... perhaps you could tell us another one. I mean, another one like it.
Oh, well, I don't know, child. There's not much light left in the sky. If I tell ye a tale, there may not be any light left before I'm finished.
Bah, let's go.
Ha! It's true then. So you are afeard.
Me? Ha! Never!
So you two want to hear a story or not? I also have things to do, you know. If not, let's have you both be on your way.
Oh, but we do. We do.
All right, then. Why don't ye sit down? You two are wee enough to share that hassock right there.
Yes, ma'am. Thank ye.
Cyril, bring us some more turf for the fire.
Oh, yes, Kitty.
Now, have ye ever heard the story of old Frank Martin?
Frank Martin?
Frank Martin was a kind and simple man, a poor but honest and hard-working fella, a tinker and a cobbler by trade. The people of his village thought him pleasant and kind, but there were some who had other opinions of him.
I say, is that Frank Martin coming down the road?
By da, it is! I dare ya to go ask him.
Oh, let's leave the poor lad alone. He's a right loony, but he's no harm to anyone.
But what sport it is to hear him talk such ways. Come on, Charlie. I'll be the one to ask him then.
Oh, Casey, weren't we on our way to the pub now?
Come on then. Let's have just a few words with the coot, then we'll have a good Frank Martin story to tell the lads when we see him down the boozer. Good day, Frank Martin, sir. How are ye today?
Oh, how are you, fellas? I'm quite fine. Quite fine indeed. And God is wonderful and wise in his ways. Are you not enjoying this blessedly beautiful sun showing?
'Tis a fine afternoon, sir. No one would disagree with you there.
You said a true thing there, Charlie. And Frank Martin, are you not going to introduce us to your friends?
Oh, dear me. I beg your forgiveness. Where are my manners? Charlie, Casey, these are my two little companions, Jim Jam, and this here's Nicky Nick. Jim Jam's the fellow wearing the bob wig. And Nicky Nick, of course, is the one with the three cocked hat.
Oh, well, hello there, Jim Jam and Nicky Nick. Good afternoon to you.
Oh, they're trying to talk to you, but... Oh, but they're speaking in the fair language. What's that, Jim Jam? No. No, you mustn't say such a thing. Casey and Charlie are good lads. I've known both of their families very well. Fine people they are.
What are they saying, Frank Martin?
Oh, pay them no mind. It's what's to be expected of the fairies. Come here, boys. Cheeky fellas they be sometimes. They have an opinion about everything and everyone. Oh, for the love of it, Jim Jam! If you can't find nothing nice to say, you ought not to say nothing at all.
Well, so they don't care much for us, do they?
Eh? What's that, Nicky Nick? Ara, I think that's a smashing good idea, Nicky. Why, I think we'd all love to hear play us a tune on your pipes and lighten the mood. Ah, bend closer, lads, so you can hear. He's asking if there's a particular tune you'd like him to play. Nicky knows every tune in the universe and beyond.
How's about The Rose of Tralee?
Ah, a fine selection. I love that one. Now, you know that one, don't you, Nicky? Ah, but of course you do. Okay, gentlemen, let's give Nicky our attention. Yes? Oh, yes, Nicky. Oh, we're ready for you. Go on and play for us, Nicky. The Rose of Tralee. Ah.
Now, wasn't that just lovely? Have you lads ever heard something played better? I dare say you haven't. I'd wager a few eggs and a pail of goat's milk that tune will be stuck in your skulls for days.
Well, I must say, good fortune has truly smiled upon us this afternoon, sir. In just a matter of moments, we enjoyed a chat with you and your friends, and a private concert on top of that.
Ah, well, it was our pleasure and delight, sirs. Isn't that right, Nicky Nick and Jim Jam? Ah, well, okay, we'd best be on our way, lads. A blessing to you and your good families. Fare thee well.
Oh. Well, Casey, you sure got your story to tell at the pub.
I'll say, we won the sweepstakes with that one there.
I'd be lying if I said I didn't feel a tad guilty having a laugh at Frank Morton's expense. He's not a bad sort. It's just that the poor codger is...
He's touched in the head, sir. Come on, let's get our fill of McGinn's Porter. The lads are waiting for us. I tell you what, I'll lead us in a chorus of the Rose of Tralee.
That's quite a cough you have there, lass.
That's your story, then? Bah, let's go, Bree.
Well, you're welcome to leave, children. But I should say that's only the half of it.
I know what will happen already. The fairies will get their vengeance upon those two rascals.
Ah, you're so sure of that, are ye?
Quiet, Sam. I want to hear the rest now.
Well, the story, and I'll have you know, Sam, takes a different twist than the one you just tried to predict. For one day, nearby at the cottage, good Mr. and Mrs. O'Sullivan.
Husband, I think it's time we fetch Dr. Sampson. It's a fever our babe has for sure.
Yes, dear. I'll fetch him. Una, dear.
Yes, Denny, dear.
Have you noticed if any of our neighbours are building anything or making repairs somewhere?
No. Why do you ask?
Listen. Don't you hear?
Oh, yes. Now I hear it.
I looked around earlier this morning, but saw nothing. Tell you what, I'm going to take another quick look about while I'm on my way to fetch Dr. Sampson. But God, where can that noise be coming from? Can't seem to find it. Oh, hello, Casey and Charlie.
Hello, Danny O'Sullivan.
Is someone building a barn or something around here?
So you hear it too? It's making me right batty trying to find out where that noise is coming from.
I'm sure we can figure it out between the three of us.
Hello there, lads.
Frank Martin, how are you, sir?
Hello, Frank Martin. We're just trying to find the cause of all that blasted hammering and sawing noise.
Oh, but can't you see?
What do you mean, Frank?
I can see it as clear as I can see you. Can't you see it as well?
What do you see, Frank Martin?
They're over there. In front of your cottage.
I don't see anything at all.
Please don't try to tell us it's the fairies you see over there hammering and sawing away, Frank Martin.
Well. Well, it is. But what is it they're building? I can't quite clearly see from here. Can you see, Jim Jam? You can. Yes? Really? Really? Oh, that's very, very sad. Very sad indeed. Have mercy, blessed Jesus.
What is it that you see, Frank Martin?
It makes my heart heavy with woe and sadness to see such a coffin being built. A coffin sized for such a young child.
Later that day, Mr. and Mrs. Sullivan were devastated when their only child died. And from that day onward, no one ever again laughed at Frank Martin. And any doubt that he could see and talk with the good people, the fairies, vanished once and for all. No, don't tell me you two are scared now.
Is that story true, Miss Kitty?
Well, is any story true? Sometimes that is for only the teller to know. Well, you two had better get back on the main road and climb into your beds. Those coughs sound something terrible. What's the matter?
Kitty, can't she hear it?
I hear hammering.
And sawing.
Well, I'm sorry, children. I don't hear anything of the sort.
You don't?
No, I don't hear a thing. And my ears are as good as the day I was born. Well, do you hear anything, Cyril?
No, Kitty. I hear nothing.
And you, Colleen, do you hear any such noises?
No, Kitty. I hear nothing but the crackling of the hearth.
By a lonely prison wall, I heard a young girl calling, Michael, they have taken you away, for you stole Trevelyan's corn, so the young might see the morn. Now a prison ship lies waiting in the bay. Of Athenry, where once we watched the small free birds fly. Our love was on the wing, we had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry. By a lonely prison wall, I heard a young man calling, nothing matters, Mary, when you're free. Against the famine and the crown, I rebelled, they cut me down. Now you must raise our child with dignity. Of Athenry, where once we watched the small free birds fly. Our love was on the wing, we had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry. By a lonely harbor wall, she watched the last star falling, as the prison ship sailed out against the sky. For she lived to hope and pray for her love in Botany Bay. It's though so lonely round the fields of Athenry. Low lie the fields of Athenry, where we once watched the small free birds fly. Our love was on the wing, we had dreams and songs to sing. It's so lonely round the fields of Athenry.
That was the truly magnificent Ms. Lauren Elder. What a gorgeous ballad, The Fields of Athenry. And now this word from one of our sponsors.
Ali Silva in A Whale of a Banshee.
Miss Silva, no, please don't. You can't go out there now. My conscience won't allow it.
Oh, Molly, stop worrying. You and your Irish superstitions. We really need to get back to the hotel.
Yeah, we'll be all right.
We're warning ye. The banshee is out there tonight. She'll get you. It'll mean certain death. You better believe it.
We're very familiar with certain death. You did read the reviews from our last show, didn't you?
Can it, James? Everything is okay. Thank you, Molly. Thank you, Barry.
Well, actually, maybe we should stay.
James, now don't tell me you've... Come on. Come on now. We have a big show tomorrow. But thank you for a wonderful evening, Molly and Barry.
Wait!
Oh, well, it's really coming down. I can hardly see our car.
What's that?
Oh my.
It's
the banshee!
What? That you're wearing, Martle.
What? Me? You mean my members only jacket?
No, not you, you lummox. Her. What's that absolutely precious thing you're wearing around your neck?
This. Well, Miss Banshee.
So formal. Call me Margaret.
Well, Margaret, I'm wearing my fifth and maiden handcrafted jewelry. You like?
Like? I love!
Oh, really?
I tell you, it's so refreshing to see something so bright and shiny. Everything's so desperately bleak out here on the moors. A necklace like that would really bring out my remaining eye.
Oh, yes. And earrings like these could really offset those adorably tattered rats of yours.
Really? You think?
James Reeser here. And I'm glad to say that I survived this ghastly supernatural encounter so that I can tell you and all the good folks out there about Fifth and Maiden handcrafted jewelry. Fifth and Maiden offers wholesale, organic, luxury jewelry and housewares that blend clean lines...
With a bit of shimmer.
Made with exquisite natural finds directly from the stunning California coastline, all Fifth and Maiden pieces are handcrafted in their SoCal studio. To learn more, just go to their website, fifthandmaiden.com. Fifth and Maiden are the official jewelers of Fireside Mystery Theater.
And that concludes Act One of our program. Before we continue our journey of exploration into the mysterious bogs and moorlands of Ireland, I just wanted to say a few words about our hosting service, Audio Boom. Now, Audio Boom is truly best friend to podcaster and podcast lover alike. It's the perfect place to listen to your favorite podcasts and discover new ones, as well as host that podcast you've been talking to all your friends about starting. So we cannot recommend them enough. Go to audioboom.com and start listening today. At last year's Irish-themed show, some of you might recall that we included a colorful round of Irish toasts and blessings. To modify the tradition a bit, the cast and I would like to demonstrate the following authentic, time-worn, and potent Irish curses. Now don't worry, this is not aimed at any of you in particular in the audience, but feel free to unleash these quips on your choicest foe or adversary next time you see them in the street. Just go right up to their face and tell them...
May the calf eat you, and may the devil eat the cat.
May you find the bees but miss the honey.
May the devil cut the head off you and make a day's work of your neck.
May you marry in haste and repent at leisure.
May the curse of Mary Malone and her 9 blind, illegitimate children chase you so far over the hills of damnation that the Lord himself can't find you with a telescope.
Curse of the 7 snotty orphans on you!
May the devil swallow you sideways.
May those who love us, love us. And those who don't love us,
may God turn their hearts. And if he doesn't turn their hearts, may he turn their ankles. So we'll know them by their limping.
And here's my favorite curse, Pog Mahone, which translated from the Gaelic means kiss my pasty dimpled Irish.
Okay, Annabelle. Calm down, dear.
Sorry, Allie. I just get really into this part of the show.
Yes, darling. Well, perhaps try switching your Irish coffee back to decaf. Anywho, allow me to bring us back to civility by a little toast with a whole lot of love. Let us raise our glasses. May your glass ever be full. May the roof over your head be always strong. And may you be in heaven half an hour before the devil knows you're dead. Salancha.
Salancha!
Oh my, blessings and curses indeed. Curses and blessings. You know, sometimes a curse conceals a blessing. And at other times, behind a blessing lurks a curse. As we shall come to understand in our next radio play, The Tale of the Unfinished Confession. Those of you listening at home, go ahead and turn those lights down low.
Oh, I thought I'd never see you again.
Ivy, Miss Ivy, can that be you?
Yes, it is. It's me, Jack. And this is my husband, Alan.
Pleased to meet you, sir.
Nice to meet you.
Don't just stand there, Jack Rourke. Take their coats and bags. Oh, my darling, how we've missed you so. My dearest Enda. Come to these arms that missed you so. These ever-loving arms. I remember these arms that raised me.
I do wish we were reuniting under better circumstances, Miss Ivy.
Is Daddy upstairs?
Yes. He's with your mum and Dr. Byrne.
He hasn't long, has he?
Go upstairs, Ivy. Make the pace with him while you still can. He's missed you terribly.
Ivy.
Mother.
Hello, dear.
Oh, Mother, I'm...
This must be Alan. How do you do?
Hello, Mrs. O'Laney. Pleased to meet you.
Please call me Clotilde, Alan.
Mother.
Go to your father, Ivy. There's not much time, I'm afraid.
Yes, Mother. Dr. Byrne.
Ivy. Oh, Ivy, I'm so sorry, dear.
Thank you for taking such good care of my father, Dr. Byrne.
Of course, he's my best friend. If only I could do more for him. The poor sod. Oh, God.
Daddy? Daddy, it's me, Ivy. I've come home to see you once more. Daddy?
Ivy.
Daddy.
I wish it came true. I just wanted to see you, be near you one more time. Come to my side, love.
Daddy.
Take my hand, dearest. Take my hand and let all this foolish bitterness fall away.
Oh, Daddy, I'm so sorry. I was such a fool.
No, it was I who was a fool. Ivy, you're my only child. I couldn't always tell you, but you've always held the key to my heart. It's a pity that I can only tell you at a time like this. Curse me for letting me pride win over my love for all these years.
But I'm also to blame.
It's because you and I are too similar. Like father, like daughter, eh?
I love you, Daddy.
I love you, Ivy.
Daddy, I'm so sorry that I ran away. I was hurt. I loved Finbar Doyle, and somehow I blamed you when he went away. I ran to America and tried to forget my past and become a new person, and all I did was forget how to be a good and loving daughter.
I never forgot you, my darling. And I always knew you'd come back to me someday. Seeing your face again is all I could ever ask for.
Oh, Daddy.
Ivy.
Yes, Daddy.
I need to tell you something. To confess something.
Did you not already visit with the priest?
Yes. Yes, he performed the final rites already. This is something different. Between you and me. And Finbar Doyle.
Yes.
Please, lean close. So I can whisper. So only you can hear.
Yes, Daddy. I'm listening. Daddy! Daddy, Dr. Byrne, come quick! Mother!
Noel! Hold steady! Lad, Noel! Noel! Noel!
Heaven have mercy. He's left us.
Well, Ivy, I gotta say, this is like nothing I've ever seen. I mean, I've only heard and read stories about Irish wakes, but what a crowd.
My father was a very popular and respected man.
Well, your family does own the fourth largest distillery in Ireland.
Third largest.
Well, I love the fact that the beverage of choice at your father's wake is his own Irish whiskey.
Olaney's Irish whiskey.
Why don't we take a little off of the why don't we take a little of the edge off and have some as well, right? I'll fix us a couple of glasses. You like it neat, right?
Yes, please.
You got it. Ivy.
Yes, Alan.
You knew Finbar Doyle, the playwright? I mean, that's news to me.
To our dear departed Master Noel.
Cheers to him. Bless his soul.
Was there ever a kinder or more generous man?
Oh, he put our kids through university. We have lovely pensions, lovely
but
pensions.
But there was much more to the man than that, right? He did so much for this city, our country even.
I just worry about poor Mrs. O'Laney.
She'll never get over it. I mean, how could she?
Arthur?
Yes, Clotilde.
I wanted to thank you again for all that you did for Noel.
He was my mate. I've known him since I was 10 years old. Oh, the adventures we had together.
Arthur?
Yes, dear.
You don't ever think of me anymore, do you?
Pardon?
Oh, I know it was a very long time ago. That dreamy night in the garden. We were all so young.
Why do you bring this up now, Clotilde? I thought we agreed never to speak of it again.
I'm so sorry, Arthur. I don't know what I'm saying right now. Oh, Arthur, I'm so alone now. I've never been so alone.
Enda, can I sit with you for a bit?
What a silly question. Sit beside me, love.
Inda, my husband Alan is now cross with me. I had to tell him about Finbar Doyle for the first time.
But Finbar has been gone for a long time now.
Alan can be very jealous.
He doesn't seem like the type.
He is, in his own quiet way. Disquieting is more like it.
Don't you worry. It'll pass.
I know it will. But that's not what I wanted to talk to you about. Can you keep a secret?
What is it, child?
You know, I could always trust you. You know, while he was on his deathbed, Daddy tried to tell... No, confess to me something about Finbar Doyle, but he only got a few words out before his heart stopped beating.
God!
This is going to sound a little crazy, but remember, Enda, that lady you told me about as a child, the psychic woman from your village?
Sibella? No, Ivy.
Is she still with us?
I don't know, Ivy. I don't know if this is...
Look, Enda, I'm desperate to find out what my father was trying to tell me about Finbar Doyle. It's very important to me. He was the true love of my life, you know. You told me that Sibella can talk to the spirits. Maybe she can help me.
Ivy, dearest, you know that I live to love and serve you. But that might be too much to ask, even for me. And what would your poor mother have to say about all that?
Don't worry about her, Enda. Please, do it for me. I beg you. See if she's still around, please.
All right. But be aware, there's no getting to Sibella without Nancy McKellen. Only she knows where Sibella sleeps. And she's very secretive about her. Hopefully Nancy is still with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Enda. I love you to bits. When do you think you can see her?
I'll start poking around my usual places. If she's still alive, I'll know in a few days.
Ah, here you are. Stealing my wife from me, eh, Enda? Here you go, Ivy. The glass filled with the sweet nectar of your family. Neat. Just like you asked.
Nancy, thank you so much for seeing me.
My pleasure, love.
Thank you, Nancy.
Milk and sugar, dear?
No, thank you.
Ah, you're sweet enough as it is, eh?
Nancy, I must say you look great. I don't think you've aged at all.
Oh, you flatter me like a schoolboy, dear. Stop it. Well, you don't have to stop, actually.
When was it that I saw you last?
I haven't seen you at Mass in quite some time. Many years now. Are you still of the faith, Enda?
Oh, yes. I just belong to a different parish these days. St. James the Divine.
Oh, that's a nice neighbourhood. Moving up in the world, eh? Well, good for you, then.
Well, all thanks must go to the good Master Noel, Laney, Lord rest his soul, so that my family could move up a bit from where we were. But I've never forgotten where I come from.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. Would you like some of my soda bread as well, dear? Don't mind the end bits, they got a bit burned in the oven. Middle part's all right, I think. Well, I followed the directions on the packet like it said, but it didn't still come out quite right. I wonder why that is.
Nancy, I come here to ask of you a favour.
A favour, dear?
It's not for me exactly, but for the daughter of Mr. O'Laney. I raised her like she was my own daughter.
The whiskey heiress, am I right?
She is a good girl, but has had a troubled life. Especially where her late father is concerned. He was trying to tell her something important in his last moments on his deathbed. And he couldn't finish what he was saying. I was wondering if perhaps I...
If Sibella could come visit the house.
I wouldn't come to you if it wasn't important to me. I promise the child that I would at least ask you.
Do you know... In my parish, they're trying to finish the construction of a new playground for the children. It's quite lovely. They're very close to completing it, but they're still a few quid short.
I can arrange to help you with that. Do you think she'll come?
You'll have to ask her. If she agrees, here are the terms. We will appear at the house on the next day that the rain falls upon it.
Second, we must insist on total privacy and discretion. Mr. Noel O'Laney was a very well-known and respected man, so all the more, this must be done with as much quiet as possible. Is that understood, Enda?
Yes, Nancy. Oh, thank you, Nancy. God bless you.
Hi there. They're here.
Oh, dear. They weren't exaggerating. Let me get my slippers on.
Who's that at the door? Jack Rourke, where are you? Would you please answer it?
Yes, ma'am.
I'll get it, Mother. It's someone to see me.
Who is it?
You didn't tell me you were expecting visitors, dear.
I'm sorry. I forgot.
Nancy, Sabella, what a delight. Please come in.
Ivy. Who are these two weirdos?
Mind your mouth and your manners, Alan. These are old friends of ours.
Old friends? Of whom?
Come with me, ladies.
Excuse me, where are you taking these two? Can you please tell me what is going on here?
Mother, please. I'll explain to you later.
All right, then. Dr. Barron and I are about to sit down to tea. We'd like to speak to you alone once you're through with this absurdity.
Are you sure this is the right time to visit? We don't want to feel like we're intruding upon you.
It's all right. I'm Ivy O'Laney Smith, by the way.
This is Nancy.
Pleased to meet you.
And this is Sabella, I presume.
How do you do, Sabella? I've heard so much about you.
You'll have to excuse Sabella. She cannot speak. Yet, that is. Let us go to your father's room and I'll explain.
Hey, you mind if I tag along?
Actually, sir, we'd greatly prefer it if you didn't.
Okay.
Please show us the room. Then this is the room where your father died.
Yes.
No. Ivy. What's about to happen here may startle you a bit. But do not be afraid. When Sabella and I join hands, it will no longer be my voice that will come from my lips, but Sabella's. Are you ready then? All right. Let's begin. Ivy O'Laney.
Ivy O'Laney. I am Sabella. You have summoned me here today to speak to your own father, Noel Seamus O'Laney.
Is his spirit present here?
Aye, he is here with us.
Daddy, can you hear me?
Rest, child. Only I can hear him. But right now, he is reluctant to speak.
Daddy, please, tell me what you were trying to tell me about Finbar Doyle.
Please be still, child, so that I may listen.
What's happening? What is he saying?
His answer to me. We will know what happened to Finbar Doyle only on the 200th anniversary of the distillery.
But that's not for another 100 years. We'll all be dead by then.
He says that is precisely the point.
Is there anything else?
That is all. I am weary. I must go, child.
You mean that's it? That's all you can tell me? You two fakes! You're a couple of bloody frauds!
I know this is a time of hurt and great pain in this house, but let me speak plainly. To go any further here will cause you far more anguish, child, more anguish than it is probably worth to you and your loved ones.
What do you know about my pain and anguish?
You loved your father, did you not?
Of course!
He was a great man. But there was one moment of weakness that cast a long shadow on the remainder of his years in this world.
I need to know the truth, damn you!
And how badly do you need to know?
If you know something, tell me, I'm begging you!
All right, then. All right. I will reveal what I know. One night, your father called Finbar Doyle for a midnight meeting in his distillery.
Finbar Doyle, step into the light where I can see you, lad.
Here I am, Mr. O'Laney. Why have you called me here so late in the evening?
You know damned well why. I want you to stop seeing my daughter.
I love Ivy, and she loves me. Why can't you believe that? Just because I don't come from a wealthy, well-to-do family like yours. You know, I'm finally starting to get my first taste of success. My latest play is a smash at the Abbey.
It's not that, lad. My grandfather, Seamus, rose from very humble origins to make this distillery what it is today. I've never forgotten that. But you, sir, despite your current notoriety as a scribe, you lead a profligate life, and as I see it, you come from a long line of, I don't know how else to put it, criminals.
Criminals? How dare you call them that? They were not criminals. They were rebels. Rebels, freedom fighters.
They stole and they killed, and that makes them criminals in my book. And you write your plays and your poems worshipping their ilk.
Sir, it is only the great love I have for your daughter right now that keeps me from...
Simmer down, son. I'm going to make this very easy for you. I'll see that all your dreams come true. Compose all your odes and stanzas as you travel the world at your leisure. I will write you a check large enough to live a life you'd never see otherwise. All I ask in return is that you no longer see my Ivy.
Dare you! Put your hands on me!
Finbar. Finbar. Are you all right, lad? Talk to me. Oh, my God. I'm sorry, lad. I'm sorry.
Father struck Finbar Doyle, his head smashed against the stainless steel of the fermenting vat in the distillery. And the blow killed him instantly.
That can't be true. You two sideshow attractions better leave this house as fast as you came.
Yellow
or...
light. Window bright, eyes that shine on through the night.
What did you just say?
You heard what it is I just said, child. I do not need to repeat it.
Finbar wrote that verse for me, and only for me. No one else in the world has ever seen it. He never published that poem. I own the only copy that exists. How do you know it?
Is that enough of the story for ye? We will depart from you now and consider this matter closed.
So it was an accident. All right, but what happened to Finbar's body?
You should ask Dr. Arthur Byrne here about that.
Ask me about what? What in the bloody hell is going on in here?
I know now, Dr. Byrne. What Daddy did to Finbar. He killed him in the distillery. I know it was an accident.
Then he did tell you on his deathbed, did he? I knew it. What else did he tell you?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, please don't tell me that she knows.
I don't know quite how she knows, but she knows Catilde.
The family wanted to avoid a scandal, so Noel called his best friend, Dr. Byrne, to help dispose of the body.
Dr. Byrne?
They secretly placed Finbar's body in a special cask of whiskey, whose seal is not to be broken until the 200th anniversary of the distillery, by which time everyone in this room would be long dead and free from punishment from the law.
Is this true? Dr. Byrne, you're my godfather. Mother, you knew about this as well.
Well, Ivy, I don't know what to say. Yes, I am your godfather. So you know what happened. It's now in your hands. Our lives are in your hands. Are you going to turn us in? Your godfather? Your mother too?
Oh, are you going to stand by your family?
Hey, what the hell is going on here?
Alan. Sweetheart.
Why does everyone look so serious? Would you please tell me what's going on?
Alan, I...
Poor child. I tried to warn ye. I would not want to be standing in your shoes. Not for all the tomorrows in this blessed world.
Well, his eyes, they closed, and his last breath spoke. He had seen all to be seen. A life once full, now an empty vase. Lay the blossoms on his early grave. So walk away, by morning we'll be free. Wipe the gold from your mother dear. Save what's left of the flag for me. Then the rosary beads, count of one, two, three, fell apart as they hit the floor. And in a garb of black, we must pay respect to the colors we're born to mourn. So walk away, yeah, walk away. By morning we'll be free. Wipe the golden tear from your mother dear. Save what's left of the flag for me. In his place grew a festered wound, full of hatred and remorse. And I pick and scratch till the blood didn't match the rage that fills my lung. You know there are many ways to kill a man, they say. Bayonet or axe or sword, but son, a bullet fired from a shapeless guide leaves but a shell of a Thompson. So walk away, yeah, walk away. By morning we'll be free. Oh, wipe the golden tear from your mother dear. Save what's left of the flag for me. Turn to the western shore. And many men and many more will fall. Oh, no angel flies with me tonight till freedom. lay. Till every man his kingdom come. So as night turns day and the passions play, oh my God, what have they done? With a madman's rage, they dug our grave. And for me, the deepest one. So walk away, by morning we'll be free. Wipe the golden tear from your mother dear. Save what's left of the flag for me. Walk away, yeah, walk away. By morning we'll be free. Wipe the golden tear from your mother dear. Save what's left of the flag for me.
That was the ever-dazzling Mr. Andrew Hammond. Give him another big round, please. That was Flogging Molly's rebel ballad, What's Left of the Flag. Stay tuned after our show. He'll be doing a full set. You won't want to miss it. And now this word from one of our sponsors.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah, Pat.
Do you ever get the notion that people don't have all that much respect for you and me?
Yeah. I always have that feeling that sometimes they're having fun at our expense and behind our backs even.
Yeah, I tell you, it seems my ears are always ringing.
Well, Pat and Mike, if you're tired of being the butt of everybody's Pat and Mike jokes, it's time to stop drinking that stereotypical swill I see sitting in front of you over there.
Mikey Brooklyn! By golly, lad, what are you doing in Dublin?
Cordially Brooklyn flew me out here just to set you two lunkheads straight. Clown time is over. Now let's get serious for a second.
Hey, Yank. Don't tell us you're going to try and teach us Irishmen how to drink.
Because it can't be done.
I already have you two mugs beaten to the punchline. Stand back. Now try that one on for size, fellas. No, you don't drink a signature cocktail like that. You're killing me over here.
That was quite lovely, actually.
What's that wonderful flavor tickling at the back of my throat, Mikey Brooklyn?
That would be the taste of integrity, my friend. Get to know it, guy. Take it from me, your friend Mikey Brooklyn. A night out drinking doesn't have to degenerate into another Pat Mike routine if your cocktails are made with integrity. Cordially Brooklyn is focused on making small batch organic syrups and shrubs for professionals and home bartenders alike using only the finest local ingredients. Get hip, chip, and get all the info at cordiallybrooklyn.com and start drinking like an actual person today.
Thank you, Mikey Brooklyn. The saintly Mother Teresa once said, if you judge people, you have no time to love them. Our third and final tale this evening, The Feast of the Assumption, asks us to consider this bit of wisdom as we peer past the walls of a lonesome convent where a startling revelation is about to unfold.
She'll be arriving. I thought the Reverend Mother said she'd be here by 6 p.m.
Please check the roast now, Sister Elizabeth.
Yes, Sister Beatrice. Maybe they're having trouble locating her at the seaport.
Yes, perhaps. One must always account for certain obstructions and delays when traveling.
I wonder if I'll ever get to travel one day. You know, I've never left New York. She's like the Reverend Mother, you know. She's from Ireland, I hear.
County Wicklow, supposedly.
I wonder what she's like. I wonder if she's friendly. It would be nice to have another smiling face around here. Not that you aren't pleasant yourself, Sister Beatrice.
Oh. Are you done slicing those apples yet, Elizabeth?
Just a couple more. You know, I prepared for her room for her, and I made the bed and all. You know, she has a very nice room. One of the nicer ones gets a lot of sunlight, unlike mine. My plants are struggling to survive, you see. Maybe the new sister will let me put one of my ficuses in her window.
Perhaps.
I just hope she's nice.
From what I understand, this will be the fourth convent she'll have been reassigned to in less than 2 years.
Really? Oh, I didn't hear that. Oh, I wonder why.
That's usually not the best sign, Elizabeth. I'm just trying to not to let you get your hopes up too high.
Oh! Oh! Do you think that's her?
Elizabeth, please, that roast is going to burn.
Sister Beatrice, Sister Elizabeth, what a delicious meal that was. A perfect way to welcome the newest member of our little family.
Why, thank you, Reverend Mother.
Glad that you enjoyed, Reverend Mother.
Sister Nora, well, it doesn't look like you touched much of your food. Are you not hungry after such a long journey?
Please accept my apologies, sisters, Reverend Mother. The supper was delicious. Yes, it's just that I'm a bit fatigued.
Well, sisters, Nora's come all this way from my own homeland of Ireland. County Wicklow, is it, Nora?
That is right, Reverend Mother.
Oh, splendid. Well, I'm from Cork myself. It's so good to hear another Irish voice inside these walls again. I haven't returned there for more than 15 years now. Oh, well, you know, I didn't realise how beautiful it really was until I left it. Oh, well, sisters, Nora will be joining us tomorrow for morning meditation and prayer, of course. But I also want to encourage everyone here at this table to get to know... Oh, Nora, Nora, you're weeping. No, there, child.
I'm very sorry, Reverend Mother. This is so hard for me, so very hard.
Oh, it's going to be all right, Nora. I know you're in a new place that seems awfully foreign and alien to you, but understand we're all good and kind and friendly here.
Yes, before you know it, everything will be fine, Sister Nora. You'll be doing God's work. I, for one, am looking forward to working alongside you. If there's anything you need, just give a little whistle. I'll be there in a jiffy. I know where everything is, and I'm very eager to lend a helping hand.
Thank you, Sister Elizabeth.
I, too, am glad to welcome you, Sister Nora. There is much work to be done, especially since construction on the parish grammar school is nearly complete.
I apologize for my outburst, everyone. I want to be a good and useful and dutiful sister of the Order of St. Thomas. I will certainly do my very best.
You'll be just fine. I was once in your shoes, Nora. If I can do it, so can you. Come on. Give us a smile now. There, that's better. Okay, sisters, I'm going to retire to the parlor for my tea, and after I finish my rosary, I think I might, I'm going to listen to President Roosevelt's fireside chat on the radio, and you are all most welcome to join me.
Thank you, Reverend Mother.
If it's all right with everyone, I think I'd like to turn in, if I may.
But of course, child.
Let me show you your room, Sister Nora. Wait till you see it. You're going to love it.
What on earth was that?
Heavens, did you hear that too?
Oh, it woke me up as well.
Sister Nora!
Sister Nora? Sister Nora! Sister Nora, are you all right? Please let us in.
Just open the door, Beatrice!
Nora! Nora, what's wrong?
I can't. I can't get away.
Can someone tell me what's happening here? What was that sound I heard in the hallway just now? It sounded like...
A horse, Reverend Mother. It sounded like a horse.
That is impossible. Nora, calm down, child. Calm down.
I'll never be free. Never.
What do you mean, Nora?
He's followed me here.
Well, I don't understand.
Far convents. Far. Not one of them will have me. Why? Because he follows me. Wherever I go, even here to America, I am cursed. Cursed.
Calm yourself, child. You're having a nightmare is all.
This life, Reverend Mother, is a nightmare.
Nora. What was that noise we all heard in the hallway just now? Do you know?
That's Rory.
Rory. Who is Rory?
Rory. He was a bounder and a blackguard of the First Order. But he was also the man I secretly couldn't stop myself from loving. No matter how hard I tried, I'll always remember the first day he appeared in my parents' modest little lodge.
Hello? Hello in there?
Yes, sir. What is it you need?
Well, I was hoping to get some decent food and lodging. Well, I guess you gotta take whatever you can find in a rut like this. Oh, but it was only a joke, sir.
What can I do for you?
Well, I am powerfully thirsty after riding the roads all morning. I'll take a pint of whatever is good you got back there.
Mother, pour this gentleman a pint, will you?
Yes, dear.
Well, my oh my. Is this your daughter, sir?
Yes. That's my daughter. Nora Jane.
Nora Jane. Oh, what a lovely flower of a name that is. My name's Rory, Nora Jane. Pleased to be in your acquaintance. Well, aren't you going to say hello to me?
Is there a reason I ought to?
Here's your porter, lad.
Well, that'll cost you
one. Sir, might I have this one on credit?
Well, have you no money on your person?
Well, I do. I mean, I will. My brothers, Sean and Tom, will be here in no time. They're riding here now from Dunlave. And you see, Tom's just won the races up there. And he'll be carrying enough lucre from his winnings to pay the expenses for all the three of us.
All right. When do you expect them?
I don't know. Any time at all. Hey, Squire?
Yes?
Do you think that there's any of your lodgers here at present that might like to play a few hands of cards with me? You know what I mean. Are there any Spartan types you may have noticed?
No. Not here, sir.
Rory, please call me Rory. That's fine, then. That's fine. Is there a room for me and me brothers, then?
We could take care of them once they arrive.
Very well. Oh, looky there. I think I see him from your window riding up this way. Let me go out to meet him. I'll be right back.
Nora Jane, you better take your flirty eyes off of that scoundrel before I...
Oh, Mother, how could you think I'd ever have the slightest interest in a greasy rogue like him?
I know quite well how a woman's eyes work, Nora. Don't be fooled by his finery and fancy ways. He's as rotten and rude as a schlieven as they come.
If I ever see you within a yard of that boy, I'll tan you, then skin you afterward. I got back to cleaning out those pots like you were told.
Yes, Father.
Why did you tell them we have lodging for them? You ought to have turned them away.
They'll spend their money here. I may not care to know where it comes from, but I'm sure they'll be spending it quickly before they have had it.
Well, hopefully we'll not see them again after tonight.
Later that night, Rory and his brothers fled the lodge without paying their bill. My father, understandably, wanted their heads on silver platters. I hated him for what he had done to my poor parents. But at the same time, I found I could not stop thinking about him and how we caught one another's eyes that afternoon. No man ever had such a hold on me before. I thought I would never see him again, but at great risk to his well-being, Rory would travel all the way from as far away as Dublin to leave a love letter for me in the hollow of the old sycamore tree by the lodge. It was all so wildly daring and very romantic. The letters, they revealed the finest part of his troubled soul.
Dearest Nora, I ask myself, pray each morning, when will this life ever allow me to walk with you so that I might stop and gaze into the blueness of your eyes and be warmed by the tenderness of your sweet, loving smile. I know that I have done wrong to your parents and many others, but if I could only somehow put an end to my roving ways, and I believe there is a way, and the only way is your love. In my heart of all hearts, I must confess to you that I am weary of roving, and I wish to rove no more. I only wish to stay in one place. My place is in your loving heart.
The ink on his letters would run, because the tears from my eyes would fall on each page. But then, Rory became even more daring. Rory, what are you doing?
Shh, not too loud now.
Are you mad, boy? What if...
Shh, Nora, listen to me. I can't wait any longer. You must come with me.
I can't do that.
I want to marry you. My darling Nora.
I can't.
You can't or you won't?
I can't. Not without my parents' blessing. We have to do this the right way. But they'll never agree to that.
I can convince them.
Convince them? How?
Trust in me. I'll persuade them. I shall return with me brothers 3 nights from now.
Oh, Rory, I don't think
that... Let me take this chance to change their minds. We have to act now. We won't be young like this forever, you know.
And in 3 nights' time, Rory, true to his word, arrived at my parents' lodge, looking spectacular in his top coat and leather riding boots.
Hello, sir.
Rory, blast you, the nerve of you.
Now, sir, I'm only here to try to make things right.
What's happening here?
The only thing you can make right is for the three of you to turn around and go back to where you came from.
Sir, I'm Rory's brother Tom, and this is Sean. We want to make amends with you and offer this payment plus interest for our oversight for that fateful night.
Oversight? You ran out on the bill.
We should call for the constable.
Please accept this payment. We only want to make peace between our families.
Don't take that money. Sure and begorra, it's stolen.
Peace? Between our families? What do you mean by that?
My brother only wants to have your blessing, sir.
Blessing?
Nora Jane, won't you come out here, please?
Nora?
What's going on here?
Sir, I came here to ask, beg, if necessary, for your daughter's hand.
Get off my property before I kill the lot of you.
Well... We were prepared for such a reaction, sir.
Point those arms up, sir. Straight to the sky.
And you keep them there.
Mother of God!
Shut your gob, lady!
Don't you talk to her like that, Sean. Nora Jane, this is the moment. You have to make a decision. Do you love me? You can leave all of this behind once and for all. We can be together.
Nora, if you climb on that horse, understand that from this day forward, you will be no daughter of mine.
Nora! No! Don't, Nora!
I couldn't believe what I had just done. I didn't know that I was capable of such a betrayal. I knew it was foolish. I knew better. But I couldn't stop myself. The thrill was too intoxicating. The sin so impossible to resist. I was young, but not stupid enough to predict what would happen next.
you, my son? How could I do such a thing?
There's no way you can make an exception for me, Father Donovan. I mean, you baptized me. I took my first Holy Communion with you. And I made my confession with you. We even play cards together from time to time.
Shh! Would you keep your voice down?
And you can't join me and Nora in holy matrimony?
If you can't obtain the blessing of her parents, Rory, there's nothing I can do. My hands are bound by centuries of doctrine and tradition.
Russia, what good are you for anyways? Here's some copper for the parish. That's me thanks for nothing, Father.
For several days we roamed the country and made our way to the Wicklow Mountains. We had no idea what tomorrow would bring, but I still felt the thrill. Rory was wild as the wind, and I only wished to go where he would carry me.
I love you, Nora Jane. And you. You're able to love a rogue like me even after all I have done.
I can. And I do, Rory.
I'm afraid I may have ruined your life, dearest. I'm unable to look you in the eye and tell you that I know where this road ends.
I don't care where it ends. As long as it ends with you, Rory. My love.
I've torn apart your home. I can't even marry you in the proper way. What a bloody fool and a braggart am I. How can you even stand me?
You can do good, Rory. I know it. Maybe we can aim for a new start. London. France, perhaps. All we need is a chance.
No, I've made up my mind. We're bringing you back to your mother and father.
You'd better not!
Come along now. I'm going to tie your hands and bind your ankles. Throw you sideways over the saddle. I'm going to drop you off at their doorstep like a sack of flour.
Oh, let go of me, scoundrel. Oh, don't! You tickle me! Before Rory, I had never been anywhere before. And now, as we rode along, my eyes grew wide at glens bursting with green, and the craggy moorlands all the way to the glorious 400-foot waterfall along the 70 miles of the Wicklow Way. And I found myself laughing like I had never laughed before or since. How those brief few days are still frozen in my memory.
And how did it come to an end?
One summer morning, Rory was singing a ballad to me in his beautiful tenor as we rested by the banks of the River Avonmore. When all at once we were surrounded by three armed men. It was then that I learned that the horse we rode upon was stolen from these three men. Rory tried to turn and run and... his body fell into the River Avonmore, and the horse galloped away in fright into the far distance. Rory never received a proper burial because his body was never recovered.
That is terrible. I'm so sorry.
I was finally returned to my mother and father, and in their shame, they sent me away to St. Joseph's Convent. And it was there that I first experienced the sounds. The awful sounds that would awaken everyone at night. The sounds of Rory on his stolen horse, looking to find me and carry me away.
Reverend Mother, I'm frightened.
Easy now, Elizabeth. I'll admit that it's strange, but I'm sure there's an explanation for what we heard.
Elizabeth, Beatrice, return to your rooms. I want to talk with Sister Nora alone. If you please.
Yes, Reverend Mother.
Take my hand, child.
I'm nothing but sorry, Reverend Mother. Sometimes I fear I'll live out the rest of my years feeling nothing but sorrow and regret.
You know, Nora, if I can keep something between the two of us...
Yes, Reverend?
Long ago, back in my own little town of Crosshaven in Cork, there was a boy I loved as well. And I'll spare you all the details. But there came a time I had to make a not-so-dissimilar decision between him and my current vocation.
You did? Really?
Peter Evers was his name. What a beautiful boy he was. There was a time I lived and loved only for him. But in the end, I found my calling here in the church. And to this day, I have no regrets. Nora, what I learned was that here in the walls of the convent, you never come to hide. You come here to face yourself. And once you embrace that notion, you'll find that this life will help you find the true road to peace, to fulfillment, and yes, that most elusive of words, salvation. It did for me, and I think it can for you as well, child.
No one has ever spoken to me like this before. Thank you, Reverend Mother. You have given me great solace and consolation as no one has before. God bless you.
God bless you, Sister Nora. Are you familiar with Saint Scholastica? She's the patron saint of the Benedictine nuns. I shall give you the blessing of the blessed saint. Let us pray for Nora, O Holy Virgin Scholastica, that she may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Mother.
Tomorrow, as you know, is the Feast of the Assumption. Try and rest, my dear, and clear your mind so that you may join us in prayer in the morning.
But what if the sounds come back?
Remember, dear, I too am from the old country. I know about the strange things in this world, but let me tell you, my faith is stronger. If you wish to continue on this path with us, I have faith that his spirit will follow you no longer.
Yes.
Try to sleep, Nora. I'll see you in the chapel in the morning.
Good night, Reverend Mother. And once again, thank you. God bless you.
Good night, child.
Going to be late.
Oh, we must be late for the Mass.
We mustn't keep the Reverend Mother waiting.
Sister Nora probably didn't get any sleep last night.
Well, we didn't get much either.
How frightening that sound was.
Maybe you'd better knock on her door.
All right. Sister Nora? Sister Nora? Hello? Are you still asleep? Sister Nora? Can I come in?
Just open the door, Elizabeth. She's probably out cold. Elizabeth, what's wrong?
Look!
Lord have mercy. The poor girl.
She's clutching her rosary. How long do you think she's been here, like this?
Oh, by the look of it, I'd say at least a few hours. But look at her face. Well, at least it seems she didn't suffer. She looks so contented.
I would almost say that she's smiling.
Oh, can you hear it? From the courtyard outside, it's heavens.
The lovely Ms. Lauren Elder and Ms. Kylie Brown. And weren't they unearthing the Irish roots of an old American cowboy song, The Song of the Bandit? And before we part, would ye indulge me in a bit of, well, a wee morsel of Irish verse? All right. Well, we don't have to. She Weeps Over Rahoon by Mr. James Joyce. Rain on Rahoon falls softly, softly falling where my dark lover lies. Sad is his voice that calls me, sadly calling at grey moonrise. Love, hear thou, how soft, how sad his voice is ever calling, ever unanswered. And the dark rain falling, then as now. dark too our hearts. Oh, love shall lie and cold as his sad heart has lain. Under the moon-gray nettles, the black mold and muttering rain. Mr. James Joyce. And that concludes tonight's program. We do hope you enjoyed it. Let's have a hand for our singularly superlative cast, please. Mr. James Reeser. Ms. Annabel Rollison. Ms. Lauren Elder. Mr. Michael Pate. Ms. Mary Murphy. Mr. Eric Davy Gislison. Mr. Alan LaForest. Ms. Casey LaForest. And Mr. Gustavo Rodriguez. Our otherworldly musical score was improvised and performed by the amazing Mr. Steve Blanco. Our haunting melodies this evening were by the fabulous harmony with Ms. Lauren Elder and Ms. Kylie Brown. Our theme music is by BAFTA award-winning composer Mr. Jason Graves. Find more information about Jason at jasongraves.com. Our sound designer is the mighty talented Mr. Greg Russ. Our technical director is the most fabulous Mr. Johnny Goddard. Many thanks again to our special musical guest, Mr. Andrew Hammond. He's coming up! He's coming up with a full set of his own in just a moment, folks. Do stick around. You will not want to miss it. Special thanks to the most lovely and deliciously delightful staff here at the Slipper Room. Our production coordinator is the luminous Ms. Dahlia Morale. And our production assistant is the dazzling Mr. Brontes Shane Orengo. Our show was written by Mr. Sylvan Sandovar. With a bit of help and inspiration from Mrs. Mary Rodriguez. It was produced by myself, Mr. Daniel Graves, Mrs. Rebecca Graves, and Mr. Gustavo Rodriguez. With additional direction by Ms. Annabel Rollison. We return to the Slipper Room next month on Sunday, 24th of April at 7 p.m. with a return to our spooky coastal town of Sunken Harbor. You won't want to miss it. Tickets are on sale now at slipperroom.com. For all things Fireside, including links to our top-rated podcast, show listings, and lots of other interesting info, simply go to firesidemysterytheater.com. Listen to our past shows for free. And subscribe! Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and our most fabulous partner, Audio Boom. Give us a rating and a review, please. We'd love to know what you think. Like us, like our Facebook page. Follow us on the Twitters, the Instagrams, where our handle is at Fireside Mystery. This is your very own Ali Silva. Now, if you hear something like a warm, gentle brogue whispering in the wind that recalls the Gaelic shores of the Erin of yore, incessantly bidding your return, well, by all means, surrender to its refracted emerald green glow. But remember, there are two kinds of enchantment. One, where dreams are fulfilled and prayers are answered, and that other kind, where you will be forever cautioned by your darkest visions to mind the shadows.
For listening to Fireside Mystery Theater. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast and please rate and review us on iTunes. For live show dates, please visit our website at firesidemysterytheater.com. And be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. As always, be sure to mind the shadows.